Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Hi, Warren Ziders.
I am.
How are you?
I saw that in an interview recently. I thought it was hilarious when someone said the person's name and they said, I am.
Yeah. Is that your new thing?
I thought it was hilarious. I'm like, that's very much so my personality. But to answer your question, I'm doing great and appreciate you having me here.
Good. Thanks for coming. It's the first time in the UK, right?
Yes.
So the last time that we spoke on Zoom, you had just fallen down on stage. Do you remember this? And you were kind of a mix of embarrassed and super proud of it because it felt like kind of a bucket list moment.
So fun fact, you can't see him on camera right now, but my tour manager, that was his first day on the job.
Uh-huh.
We were playing this venue, and I won't name names, but the short version is that there was not proper lighting on the stage, and there was actually a discrepancy in the levels from the concrete floor to the next level.
Okay.
There was no, if you've ever been on stage, you know, don't you know how they have those things that go over wiring and
stuff like that? Yeah.
There was none of that there.
Oh.
So what happened was, is when I did my normal jog to stage, I wasn't on an even playing field, so my boot hit the edge, and that's what propelled me
forward. Was there no tape even, like white tape?
No, and there was no security out there, no venue people to have it lit up to let us know.
Wow.
Or no previous conversation to tour manager or production manager or anything saying, hey, just so you know, when you come out of the stage, there's a lip here.
And after a very short lawsuit, you now own that venue, the Warren Ziders Arena.
And then we're done touring.
Yeah, you know, great. You're done. You don't have to do
in
this
the stock
anymore.
Market.
You're good.
Started my own clothing
Whatever
line.
Whatever happened to Warren Ziders? I know he's got that arena named after
him. Yeah, he was hot and heavy. And, no, so I was proud of the moment because, you know, I talk about adversity and stuff like that from sports background and stuff. You know, you get knocked down, you get back up. And, dude, I fell and had my in-ears in. Cowboy hat went flying. I had blood all over my hands, all over my shirt.
Yeah.
Coming down my arms. And it was like 5 seconds before that verse hit. And I was like, dude, I guess I'm going on stage without my cowboy hat and I'm going to sing this verse. So,
see, I don't care what people say. Going on stage without your cowboy hat, that's got to be right up there with self-sacrifice.
It is self-sacrifice. You know what I mean? It's like, that's a part of my thing.
Yeah.
You know,
like, is it kind of like a bit of an armor thing when you go on stage, that cowboy hat? Or is it a bit of a persona thing?
No, I would definitely say it's not a persona thing. I think it's, you know, it's my imaging. It's how I am. It's how I present myself. It's a little bit of an armor thing.
Yeah,
I guess I
would
say
that.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I'm suited up to go.
Yeah.
To go get on stage and stuff. So when that happened, there was no time to think about it. It was just like, I guess,
but it went everywhere. I mean, it ultimately kind of was great for you as well.
Yeah, it went everywhere. And it was, you know, I saw it all over social media and people were like, Warren Ziders falls and this kind of that. And I'm like, well, I'm not clumsy. That wasn't my fault, but sure, post it all you want.
It's a weird thing. I was walking my dog at the weekend and took an almighty tumble. It was raining really hard. It was super slick. I was all kitted up, but I went absolutely. And then I got up and fell again. I fell twice in a row. And I was like, good Lord. But then I was rounding the corner and this guy came in the opposite direction, fell right in front of me. And he was so embarrassed and was doing that thing that you do, you know, where you kind of laugh, but you're like, oh, I actually hurt. And I went, dude, I just fell as well. And I got up and I fell again. So you're good here. I think it's something that people can relate to.
I think so. I think that it's easier for people from a crowd standpoint to say what they want. But when you're not the one standing in front of 10,000 people,
I know,
you go ahead and talk all you want.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it was bad enough just falling in front of my dog.
Yeah.
The new track is Can a Heart Take? And a new studio album, Relapse, Lies, and Betrayal. This is coming out in the middle of March, right?
Correct.
So read it like Relapse, Lies, Betrayal.
Yeah.
This sounds like, it sounds like something that's quite personal, but that a lot of people are going to relate to.
100%. And I think that that's what I love about my music is that, you know, I'm very personal in my music, but I'm trying to connect with an audience. I'm trying to connect with a crowd. And I feel like I write stuff, you know, that is very much so easy to connect and resonate with. And it has shown that drastically. And being over here for the first time to skip room sizes to mm-hmm. be playing in front of 1,500, 2,000, 2,500 for the first time coming over here is absolutely insane.
And everybody's singing along to every word, no doubt.
Every word. And it has been absolutely mind-boggling. It's just awesome.
Was traveling something that was always kind of a thing for you? You know, outside of touring, I mean, just like in general, were you always like, I want to see the world?
No.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't. You know, we had our family vacations and stuff like that.
But did you go outside of the country on your family vacation?
No. We were all very relative to, you know, being from Pennsylvania back in the U.S. And, you know, we had our beach vacation over the summer. And then once we got a boat, you know, we were always going to lakes.
Oh, you had a boat.
Yeah, wakeboarding.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Anything physically active, wakeboarding, snowboarding, skiing, skimboarding, surfing, skateboarding, dirt bikes, you name it, anything like that. And that's my wheelhouse. That's what I grew up doing. But all that to be said, no, I wasn't really much of a traveler. The most traveling I ever did was up and down the East Coast for lacrosse when I played lacrosse.
Lacrosse as well. Good
yep.
Lord.
Yep.
Did you have a bunch of, I bet you had a bunch of trophies and ribbons, didn't you?
I did well for myself.
Where are they now?
Honestly, couldn't tell you.
Are they in the parents' basement? Are they still proudly on display in the den?
Probably. You know, my life changed so fast so that when my parents ended up uprooting and moving, I didn't even get a chance to say goodbye to my old house because I was out on tour. So
okay.
They ended up packing up themselves and
so they moved while you were out on tour.
Yeah.
And how old were you when you were on tour that first time?
They've been in Nashville now a little over a year, so they moved last year. So
they moved to Nashville to be closer to you.
And they both work for me full time.
Do they? Mm-hmm. Excellent. That must be a mixed bag.
I absolutely love it. Both my parents come from the business world. My mom was a CFO.
Right.
She worked in the accounting, insurance world. My dad worked in the car industry for the last 12 to 15 years. Prior to that, he did life insurance and investments.
So okay. Those are good people to have on your team.
He does my real estate. He does my stock market. So he takes a look over my portfolio. He's actually out here on tour with me right now in the UK. So right now he's doing a little bit of personal assistance. He's okay. doing my,
get my coffee.
Laundry right
oh,
now
he's doing your
while
laundry.
We're here because I need my show shirts to be wow. nice and pretty for these final two shows. But yeah, I'm so grateful that both my parents work for me.
So you're sports. That was yep. that was your thing, right? And there's a lot of artists that we've had through the doors that they were going to be sports people.
Yeah.
And then usually it's an injury
yep.
that sends them off. Was that the case with you?
I have 7 concussions that'll tell you that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
From what?
Lacrosse.
From lacrosse?
Yeah, 12 years
I think
ago.
A lot of people don't think about that as like a super contact sport.
Yeah, watch a game and tell me otherwise.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, normally people think of like American football for sure as that.
They do. I say that lacrosse is a mixture of finesse between hockey, soccer, and football. It's a lot more hard hitting than you can imagine.
So you were going to be a professional lacrosse player?
No. The dream for me was to go play in college, which right. I ended up going to do.
So did you get a scholarship for that?
No. So I went Division III, which is what I wanted to do as well, D1. Didn't matter, actually, if you went D3 or D2 or D1. It's all the same work. Either way
I'm assuming those are kind of like league-type things?
Yep, so different divisions. D3, I got a academic scholarship.
Right.
D1 is when you can get a full ride and all that
okay,
kind of stuff.
Okay, I got you.
But when I went D3, you know, people... I'm super grateful that I did this because I... You know, you talk about these other artists coming through that were athletes... It has instilled and trained me with so many characteristics and disciplines because even playing at a lower level, if you want to call it D3, it was 4 a.m. wake-up calls, get to the field, first workout of the day before the sun's up, then it's back to bed, get a 45-minute nap, get to class, have your breakfast, show up for workout number 2, go to class, then you got film room, then you got practice, then you have study hall with the team. So it's just like... That was a day in the life.
This life as a country music star, that's a breeze compared to that, it sounds like.
I mean, yes and no. Some days have their easier days, but what I've actually seen is doing this, the ones that I believe are going to win in the end are the ones that keep their hand on the pulse because there's a lot of people that will do this and, you know, they look for other people to give them answers, or they look for other people to tell them what to do. Dog, I'm in the studio. I'm helping my producers. I get co-producing credits. I'm in there singing. I'm in there helping instrumentation, what it needs to be. I'm full-time social media manager. I'm doing everything I possibly can, hands onto the merch. You know, my label doesn't own my merch. I own my merchandise. So it's just like all these things that I'm hands-on on absolutely everything.
Are you having
I possibly
fun?
Can. I love it.
Good.
I mean, and again, my parents have a background in business. My parents own companies growing up. So I worked, my parents had a, you know, ice cream shop.
Oh, ice cream shop. Now I'm interested now.
Yep. We had that. Surprisingly, I wasn't overweight, you know, thank God for lacrosse.
Does the ice cream shop still exist?
Nope. So
what's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Ooh, growing up for me was mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip. Okay. Mm. Cone or cup?
Waffle cone.
Waffle cone, fancy the big one. Okay, yep. Nothing extra though, right? You weren't like a whipped cream guy or something.
No,
no.
And me then either. Another one of my other favorites to always get when I was at the beach was a twist ice cream, half chocolate, half vanilla.
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
And then you dip it in chocolate.
Oh yeah, I don't like the dip in chocolate bit.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Okay, all right.
Haven't had it in forever.
Now you want one?
Yeah, I would love to. I've had one cheat meal since being over here. I got myself a Biscoff milkshake.
Oh, yeah.
At Five Guys. That's my first
cheat. Oh, it's good that you're over here experiencing our culture. Straight to Five Guys. Yeah.
I mean, for dinner last night post-show was 4 burgers, 88 grams of protein, and that's
4 burgers?
Well, 4 patties, no bun.
Oh, like, because it's always a double burger at Five Guys.
Yep, so I'm very much so on a super strict, heavy protein.
You know what, when Five Guys first came over here, because Five Guys is really huge in the States, they're everywhere, and I'm originally from Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I grew up, well, you know, like, I'd go home and we'd go to Five Guys, and that's great. And then it first opened over here, like, the first one was in Covent Garden, and there was a line around the block for it, and I thought, well, this is just crazy. People are lining up for Five Guys.
It's a phenomenal burger.
And you know what I got in that line?
I'm glad you did. I was like, I would have done the same thing.
I want some peanuts while I'm waiting for my Five Guys. Are you going to get some kind of, like, you know, everybody's always like, fish and chips, must have fish and chips. Have you done any kind of British things?
I haven't really, man. All right. I'm very much so on like a super clean, strict. I had steak the other night.
You can't say you're on a super clean, strict at Five Guys with a milkshake and you can have some
fish and
chips.
I'm going to tell you right now, Five Guys is burgers and what they cook them in is actually one of the healthiest options you can get.
I'll give
in
you
a
that
fast food.
Let's talk about that
option.
Shake.
Let's talk about the shake. Okay, so I had one shake since being over here.
I'm not putting pressure on
that
you.
That I burned off in 20 minutes on the stair climber the next
day.
I
feel like you should have a cheat day with like some fish and chips or something as well, because you're here.
I could, man, but I was in Ireland, dude, and people were like, "Oh, you're gonna split the G." I'm like, I haven't had a beer in 2 years. Like,
no, okay.
That's how like strict I am. I drink tequila with Red Bull, zero sugar. Like, I am just super regimented. And, you know, for when that shirt comes off on stage, I got to make sure I look good.
Does the shirt come off every show? Is that
the crowd is loud enough.
Right, if they deserve it.
If they deserve
it. Okay.
Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
So, you were going to be an athlete, then it wasn't the like fifth or sixth concussion, but the seventh concussion, you were like, right, I'm going to be a country star now. How did that happen?
It was like the sixth and seventh. So I get to college, and the reason why I went to the college that I went to is got a great rapport with the coach. And I was told, you know, as a freshman that I was going to get a lot of playing time. Right. And I was like, I'm not going to go to a school where we call it riding the pine back in the U.S. where I'm
ride the bench. What's it called, riding that?
Ride the pine.
The bench.
I'm not going to ride the bench.
Got
you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not wasting 2 years on the bench just to whatever. That wasn't my thing. I'm not going to do it. So went to this school, great program, loved the coach, loved the, you know, atmosphere. All that being said, it was unfortunately day one of practice, and I was coming off of a pick, and I was blindsided, of all things, in practice. Still mind boggles me. I got hit, knocked off my feet, blacked out, started seizing on the field, called an ambulance, woke up, came to, and got checked out and everything. They were like, we're going to keep an eye on you. I was practicing the next couple of days, and I was like, something doesn't feel right. Like, being in a room like this, lights were bothering me. Mm-hmm. I was dizzy. I was nauseous. So I was out for a good 6 months on that. I was missing classes. I was just, it was a rough time for me. But the character that I have and the person I am, I didn't want to let it stop me. Mm-hmm. So when I went home for winter break, I was doing 2 days in the gym. I was working out. I was practicing my fundamentals. I was putting all my time and effort to get back to being healthy and to get back on the field. Lo and behold, I go back for spring and played in a scrimmage, was getting ready for the season, and yet again took another hard hit. And it was just like a come to Jesus moment for me. I'm just like, yeah, this is, I don't really know how I feel about this. I don't really know if this is for me anymore. And it was a tough come to grips for me, not just for me, but for my family.
Sure, but had you been writing country music already? Like, was that already a thing?
No, man.
No.
Like, that's how weird my story is. So that happens. I give up lacrosse, transfer schools. I move back home to save money. And then where the story begins, really, is COVID hits.
Oh, and COVID.
COVID hits. And I just start posting videos on social media for fun, not to pursue a career, posting covers. Well,
what was the first cover you posted? Do you remember?
Tennessee Whiskey.
And of course.
I didn't think that my first cover I would post, I'd wake up the next morning to 400,000 views on a video. I was like, oh, this is fun. People must like my voice. So I didn't read too much into it. I was very nonchalant, posting casually whenever I wanted to. There was no method behind the madness. And I did that for about 7 months and started to get some more traction on some more covers. And, you know, covers led to, we want full versions of these, to, we want, you know, original music from you. Like, and I'm like, I never said I was an artist. I never told you that I write music. So I go ahead, I go to Guitar Center one night with what money that I did have. I go in, I buy a microphone, I buy an interface. I've watched some YouTube videos on how to record, what's a free software program. Go ahead, download all this stuff. I get soundproofing panels off of Amazon to put up in my old Xbox room, transferred into like a little studio.
You had a whole Xbox room?
Yeah, it was like, I mean, obviously back in the US, you call it growing up your playroom as a kid.
Yes.
So it was shared with my sister. And then when I got to high school, it became the Xbox, like the gaming room.
It evolved.
Yep. And then it became the studio. So that being said, started doing that, recording them, putting them on YouTube. And I was like, okay, I have no idea to write. So I took a shot in the dark, started writing my first song on the run, recorded it, and got in touch with a guy who, Charlie Salvatore, is my manager still to this day. And he was already under the impression that I was under management because of the marketing moves that I was doing. He was amazed that I was taking fans from one platform to another to, hey, you follow me on TikTok, follow me on Instagram, go to YouTube, go to this. And the fans were following. And he was like, there's no way you're doing this alone. I'm like, my background's in marketing. So that's what I went to school for and everything, sales and marketing. 6 months later, you have Ride the Lightning written, and then signing a record deal. So my life changed fast.
And look at you now in London, England, eating a Five Guys.
Yes, sir. Some things never change.
Living the dream.
Some things never change.
Living the dream. So now that you've been over here, you got a taste for it. Are you like, yeah, I'm coming back?
I love it. You know, for me, the first couple shows I had to get used to because every crowd's different. And
oh yeah, because we're a listening crowd over here in the UK.
Yeah, it was. It took a little bit to get used to. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
like y'all can sing. It's cool. Like sing along with me. Come on, it's a concert. Let loose, relax. But then when I got to, we did Northern Ireland. We did what was it? Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
We did Manchester. On that stretch, I was like, it was a whole different crowd. It was very much so like live, chattery, drinking, like, I'm here to party, let's party. And I was like, yeah, I can get used to this. So not that the crowds, they're just different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's just not, well, the one's better.
Yeah, no, it's a different culture. And, and definitely audiences react differently. But
100%.
They're really into it.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. They're just listening.
Yeah, it's just a different way to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that was just something that I had to kind of interpret.
Do you find that, though, across the states? There must be, I know there's a general kind of American thing, but they're also culturally across the states. Is there any difference? Or difference, like, because you've toured with, like, Jelly Roll and people like that. Those crowds must be a little bit different, too.
Yeah. I mean, it does vary from pocket to pocket from where you're at, but it's, like, off the top of my head. When I go to Boston and I go up to that northeast section of from where I'm from, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Boston, they're like foaming at the mouth by the time I get on stage. And it's just like, I'm like, this is the stuff that I live for because it just amps me up that much more. And I love it too when I'm singing and I can put the microphone out there and they're having a great time and they're singing word for word for me. And it's just the whole vibe. And I think it's tough for me for that balance of separating myself for a listening crowd because it is such a high octane, energized, engaging show where it's like, I always say to the fans, the more you feed me, the more my energy goes up and the more I'm going to feed you right back and give you that much more. So it's just like, it's a transfer of trust. And honestly, if I'm going to be open, I need you to be open too. Like I'm up here singing my songs, pouring my heart out, giving you everything I have. Give me some energy back so I can keep giving you more. So,
Warren Ziders, it's a pleasure to see you. It's nice to see you in person. I hope you come back soon.
I hope you get a Five Guys burger soon.
Do you know what? It's all I want right now.
You need it.
Is a Five Guys burger. What do you get on the Five Guys burger?
So, no ketchup because of the sugars.
Okay.
So, I actually last night got no mustard. I put hot sauce because hot sauce is no calories.
Yeah.
So I just got 4 patties in a bowl, no bun.
In a bowl?
Yep.
A burger bowl. I didn't even know they did a burger bowl at Five Guys.
They do.
My God. Okay.
Yeah, you just got to look for the options.
I'm assuming no cheese.
I did actually.
You
did?
Okay, thank God.
I spoiled myself because what I do is instead of having breakfast, lunch, and dinner and then post-show food, as some people like to talk about on tour, is I did breakfast, lunch, late lunch so that 2 drinks before show, and then my dinner is my post-show.
So wait, I just want to get this right.
Yeah.
You had 4 hamburger patties in a bowl with cheese.
And hot sauce.
And hot sauce, and that was it?
Yep.
That was it?
Yeah, 88 grams of protein.
Wow.
What did we calculate yesterday? 400, 600, 500, 600 calories tops?
And
I probably burned a crap ton on stage, so I probably could have afforded more.
People are now going to be going to Five Guys ordering the Warren Ziders special. I'm not having four burgers in a bowl. I'm cheese, pickles, grilled onions, mustard, ketchup, and mayo.
Yeah.
Did I say tomatoes? Tomatoes.
Okay.
Tomatoes.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to go see if the Warren Ziders special is on the Five Guys menu. Do you have fries with it?
No.
You're a monster.
I am. So what I've realized too is like what's been cool for me is like I like to inspire and stuff like that. And like what's been cool is seeing my band and like the people around me kind of taking notice to what
choking
I'm doing.
Their way through 4 burgers in a bowl.
Well, no, but it's like they're starting to make more health conscious decisions.
Yeah,
too,
no, it's good to have that. Yeah, for sure. And
course,
especially when you're on the road as well, because it takes so much out of you.
It does, and it's a balance.
Just the travel.
Too.
Never mind like what you're actually doing on stage. Just the travel takes it out of you.
And no one has to be as crazy as I am. But it's just like if I was at home for my dinner, it's 8 ounces of ground bison It's 4 ounces.
Ground bison. Yeah. I don't think you're going to find that here.
And then it's like 4 or 5 ounces of just chicken breasts. And then it's
classic.
A cup of rice.
I knew rice was coming. Sauce. I knew rice was coming. Yep. Hot sauce. I do love hot sauce.
It's got a
fine selection of hot sauces at home. How hot do you go?
I go like not super hot. And the trick is too, you don't eat hot foods
the
day before you play a show.
Right.
Because acid reflux.
Sure, that makes sense.
So you don't want none of that.
But so you don't go like hot enough that your hair's sweating?
No. I mean, I can, but
No doubt. You just choose not to.
Just choose not to.
I got you. Great to meet you, Warren. Thanks for coming in to see us.
Appreciate you having me.
We'll see you next time.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.